I was opposed to Doctor Who being turned into a woman from the outset. Because I thought it was been done for the wrong reasons, that it would be used as a stick to beat men, and that once that Pandora's box had been opened, they'd be compelled to continue straight down the diversity checklist. Black, gay, transgender, Asian, disabled, whatever. The people pushing this agenda just can't comprehend that it's possible to love diversity, but to hate tokenism. To crave entertainment, and to hate lectures. And there had already been serious warning signs of what was to come, particularly in the Peter Capaldi era, which took an increasingly hectoring tone. In a quick run of episodes, we had a special needs character, a dwarf, a deaf actor, a blind one, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when it happens week in, week out, it just feels terribly forced. Like they're simply working their way through a list for some woke brownie points or bragging rights. And that brings us to the casting of the new Doctor Who. A few years back, as stated, I said they'd go down the diversity list and do a Black Doctor next. And about 8 months ago, I put out a film saying I bet my life that the next Doctor Who will be gay. And here he is, ready to order, and as predictable as sunrise. Nakuti Gatwa, the Black Gay Doctor. And look, I hear this guy's a great actor, and I'm sure he is. And it's a shame for him that he's been picked to tick a box rather than for his undeniable talents. Because the tokenist nature of his casting has undermined his performance before he's even begun. But more swiftly followed. Because it was then announced that Rose was coming back. But not as a white girl. Rose will be played by Yasmin Finney, a black transgender actor, born a boy in Manchester. It's like they're doing it for a dare, because this will be the blackest, campest TARDIS ever. And you wonder if there'll be any room for sci-fi adventures besides all the self-righteous posturing. I doubt it. And like most people now, I don't care. Under David Tennant, the Doctor Who specials got audiences of up to 18 million, but Jodie Whittaker's last special got just 2 million. A drop of 90%, and by far the lowest viewing figure in the show's entire 60-year history. But their contempt for the fans is so absolute that they're just going to dig deeper, while bullying the public into paying it, whether they like it or not. It's a despicable attitude. And they just don't get it. If someone did a revival of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air with an all-white cast, then these same people would be up in arms. Yet here we are. Now, there's a lot of previous on this sort of stuff. When Doctor Who first came back, it introduced the flamboyantly gay Captain Jack, who, as I've said before, I thought was great. We also had our first gay kiss with the Doctor. But alarm bells started ringing once Captain Jack's spin-off show, Torchwood. Because every single character on that show had a gay fling. Owen Harper had a gay kiss in a bar. Toshiko Sato had a lesbian fling. So did Gwen Cooper. Yanto Jones fell madly in love with Captain Jack. And they had a protracted gay affair. But Jack also had a romance with the other Captain Jack. And with the other Captain Jack. It all began to feel a bit forced. And as with every other example of tokenist inclusion, you have to ask yourself, at which point is it too much? Well, for the people making this stuff, there simply can't be too much. Because there was also the gay guy in class. And the other gay guy in class. And all the gay kissing in class. And then there was Luke in the Sarah Jane adventures, and his Asian boyfriend, Sanjay. Back in Doctor Who, Mickey had a gay fling with that guy from Biker Grove. And there was Anton Delaware III, who kept going on about his black husband in 1960s America. Then there was River Song, who dropped not too subtle hints about her second wife. And Clara, who kept going on about snogging Jane Austen, and who, on meeting Aya from Game of Thrones, told the Doctor she would fight him for her, before they ran off to have lesbian adventures around the universe. Then there was Madame Vastra and Jenny, and their protracted gay affair. And in his farewell to Sarah Jane Smith, Davis turned Tiga and Nissen gay as well. And then we had Bill Potts, trumpeted as Doctor Who's first gay companion, you know, apart from all the others. So we had Bill Potts' girlfriend, and her other girlfriend, and her buddy who droned on about his granddad's gay sexual escapades in, Mao's China. And we had the gay Roman who lectured us all about the fluidity of sexuality. Then there was the Hectorean lesbian in the episode that was a ham-fisted swipe at Donald Trump. There was the big gay romance in Praxeus. And there was the extended crush between the Doctor and Jazz. By this point, most rational humans are screaming for them to give it a rest. Instead, they're up in the ante with the gayest TARDIS ever. It's not bold or cutting edge now. It's just conformist, nagging, and really boring. And as for race swaps, where do you even begin? We've already had a black woman doctor before. A string of them, I believe. Even before introducing the two new leads. The BBC gave us 1066, A Year to Conquer England, Friar Tuck in Robin Hood, and Father Benedict in The Last Kingdom. We've had a karate-kicking Miss Moneypenny, and a new 007, a black Achilles, and a black Anne Boleyn. On stage and screen, we've had Hamilton, the new Lord of the Rings, Julius Caesar, Orphan Annie, Hermione Granger, My Fair Lady, Henry VIII, The Railway Children, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, The Little Mermaid, and Lancelot. And in comic adaptations, there's been a blizzard of this stuff. The Human Torch, The Kingpin, Alicia Masters, Batwoman, Kang, Mary Jane Watson, General Zod, Catwoman, Ben Urich, Tulip O'Hare, Watchman, Electro, Domino, Madame Xanadu, The Joker, Captain America, Jimmy Olsen, Perry White, Shazam's Wizard, Heimdall, and Valkyrie. Norse gods, no less. A batch of characters in Sandman got swapped too. Death, The Librarian, Rose Walker, and Rose's grandmother. And of course, any grumbling is thrown back on the fans. Because the creators can never be at fault. It must be all the evil racists out in comicdom. The thing is, racists and bigots aren't fans of Doctor Who and Sandman. It's the most ludicrous suggestion imaginable. And the fact that you're alienating the most open-minded and tolerant people on the planet really should set off alarm bells that you've gone too far. It never will, but it should. Now, this sort of casting only ever happens in one direction. There's zero chance an iconic black character would be cast with a white actor. But it's more than this. Because it's never a Chinese actor. Never an Arab. Never a Jew. Never an Indian or Pakistani. Never anyone from Japan, Poland or Bangladesh. Never an Inuit, a Native American, a Mexican, a Swede or a Filipino. Never an Indonesian or an Aborigine. Never a Persian. Never anyone Irish or Ginger. Never a Russian, a Brazilian, a Peruvian or a Colombian. Never a Laplander. There are no Thais, Khmer, Nepalese or Burmese. It's a really puzzling phenomenon. And you have to ask, why do those obsessed by diversity casting hate diversity so much? I'd love to see them answer that one. This obsession, and it is an obsession, is hitting them commercially. But more importantly than that, it's destroying them artistically too. If you decide that art should push a political narrative, it is the death of art. Great art can be produced as a howl of emotive rage, as a reaction to a universal fear, like casualties of war, such as Picasso's Guernica. But when it's composed simply as a tool to push an ideological narrative, then it will be compromised from the outset. Great art is about the universality of the human condition, not the obsessions of your own little tribe. And Hamilton apart, not one of these updates I've covered here will go down as great art. They will end up as curios, laughable museum pieces to a weird craze that corrupted and undermined the very agenda these activists want to push. They'll be regarded like Mao's eight revolutionary operas, ludicrous and clumsy attempts to force a political narrative on the population, because that's all they are. Any art motivated by political activism will be bad art. It will be boring, and it will date like flared trousers and concrete tower blocks. But our woke overlords are far too stubborn to admit that they're just churning out tedious, hectoring junk. If you'd like to support this channel, please like, subscribe, and think about buying my books. They go into topics like this in much greater detail. They're called The Tyranny of the Left, and they're available on the links below. Please do feel free to pick them up and let me know what you think. Thank you.